Rutherford Issues on the Good Neighbor Network. Rutherford County's place to talk. We're WGNS, FM 100.5 and 101.9, AM 1450 and TV 11.
All right, welcome back in as we continue the conversation on WGNS, AM, FM, and it's our monthly chat with the domestic violence program, or about the domestic violence program and sexual assault services. And joining us in studio is Deb Johnson, who is director. And Deb, you and I go way back, even back to my high school and early college days.
Oh, gosh, that makes me sound old.
on the radio. It makes me sound old too. It's always good to bring in some new blood, isn't it?
It is. I'm moving around since 86. You know, we need some new people.
Well, you know, my wife was a social work major at MTSU, and she actually worked out there with you all as an intern. And so we kind of like to bring on the interns, don't we?
Right. And we have today.
Yes. Miss Brianna Gregory is here. Brianna.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. First time on the radio before?
Yes, sir. It is.
No nerves or anything, right?
Oh, lots of nerves.
Lots of nerves. Well, just ask Deb. It's just like old hat. Tell us a little bit about what you're doing with the domestic violence program and what you're enjoying about it.
Well, I'm a social work major at MTSU, so we do two semesters of an internship, and I decided that I wanted to do it here at the Domestic Violence Center, and so I'm just helping them provide services to victims of domestic violence and sexual assault, and it's been a very eye-opening experience. Mm-hmm. Everyone's really great. I'm learning a lot underneath Deb, and everyone at the domestic violence program is really helpful.
So now, when you had to decide where you wanted to do your internship, what drew you to domestic violence and those issues?
Well, I always felt like, you know, growing up, I always wanted to help the underdog, and I feel like these women have so much to offer, and that we can help empower them, and mm-hmm. then I want to be in a position to help people, you know, and I feel like this is a perfect opportunity to do that, and everyone's really great. So
over the years, Deb, how many interns have come through?
Oh gosh, we usually have 2, 3, 4 a year for the last number of years. Mm-hmm. Not right in the very beginning, but the last 10, maybe even 15 years. We've got a great partnership with MTSU.
And that's a good thing, obviously.
Oh, definitely. Well, the students, you know, like Brianna, that are just ready to graduate, they're like free paid staff, and it's great. I mean, they do real work. Mm-hmm. Sometimes in internships, there's a tendency to have people, you know, filing or just answering the phone or, you know, something rather menial. And we have our interns, I mean, they have a position, and they're working with clients and under, you know, a staff direction.
And obviously that's important, because that's more manpower, if you will.
More manpower. And it's good for them for resumes.
Sure.
Because it's some real world experience to put out there.
That's what I tell a lot of the young men now. We have a staff of 4 or 5 young men that work here that are college students or that age. And just the work experience. I know for me, being able to work here at the radio station, and when I graduated, to have, you know, mm-hmm. 5 years of experience certainly helped when you knock on that first door.
Yeah. Well, right now there's such competition for jobs everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
Anything that you can put on a resume or talked about in an interview is going to make a big difference.
Well, we have got some things to talk about, and I want to make sure that, because I've already talked about it, that we would have a chance to talk about National Stalking Awareness Month, which is this month of January. And Trista, who normally comes in, and she's out gallivanting around the country or something, but she said, you need to check out this website. So I thought maybe we could do a little bit of this on the air. If you go to stalkingawarenessmonth.org, there is a stalking quiz that you can take and some pretty interesting information. So I thought maybe we could take a look at this. How many people are stalked in the United States every year? Do you think it's 850,000, 1.2 million, 2 million, or 3.4 million? That's a hard question.
It's a big number, isn't it?
It's a big number. The correct answer is 3.4 million, and I guessed about 2 million, so 3.4 million stalking incidents a year?
And that's over 18. That doesn't count the kids in high school and, you know, even younger that mm-hmm. are being stalked through email and, you know, things like that.
How many states have stalking laws? all 50 states apparently have mm-hmm. a stalking law, which, mm-hmm. you know, I would suspect that they would, but are they mm-hmm. different from state to state?
Well, one of the problems is that when somebody is stalking you, the quote, first time that this comes to somebody's attention, as far the illegal community's attention, mm-hmm. it's just a misdemeanor. And it doesn't mean it's the first time that the person has stalked. It's the first time it's come to the law's attention. It's treated as a misdemeanor. This could have been going on for years, and the victim has now come forward for some reason. But all that's going to happen is something less than 1129 and probably much less, you know, maybe no time served at all, mm-hmm. you know, things like that. So after being stalked all this time, the victim finally comes forward and is going to make a stand to have the fellow, you know, probably out of jail before she's out of the courtroom kind of thing.
Wow.
It's just not taken seriously until you get the second, the third incident, or there's a weapon or, you know, that sort of thing.
You know, you hear a lot about, you know, stalking cases concerning celebrities.
Sure.
I guess that kind of... because they're celebrities and the other people are not, I guess. Mm-hmm. Why there's so much attention brought to that.
Yeah, it makes a good news story.
Yeah.
You know, if you or I are stalked, it's, you know, okay, so we are. Unless it gets tragic and there's some real serious, you know, harm and mm-hmm. said weapons and injuries and things like that. But when a star is stalked, that's good press just right from the beginning. And I think the problem with that is it sounds like it doesn't happen to anybody but stars and famous people and things like that. So if we think that somebody's stalking us, it's like, well, nobody, you know, that's not happening.
Yeah. True or false, most stalking victims will report the stalking to police. The answer to that is false. And interesting, only 37% of male stalking victims and 41% of female stalking victims report to police. Victims choose to report for a variety of reasons, including minimizing the seriousness of what they're experiencing, not understanding the behavior, that it's criminal, and also thinking the police would not take them seriously. Mm-hmm. So that's why they choose not to report.
And just don't realize that, you know, stalking very, very frequently leads to other crimes. And I think one of the statistics, I'm not sure, it's probably your next quiz question, but 3 out of 4 stalking victims are being stalked by somebody that they know. This is it's like, sort of like rape mm-hmm. and sexual abuse. These are not necessarily strangers jumping out of the bushes. They're people that we have an interaction with at work or an intimate relationship with, and they're the ones that are stalking and causing all this trouble.
Well, at least I get the next question right here on my quiz. That was the next.
I thought it was.
What percentage of victims are stalked by a current or former intimate partner? I would say that number is high. It says mm-hmm. 5, 11, 30, or 44%. Would that be a good guess for me? High, like 44%?
Actually, our fact sheet says 30, but yeah. I'm just guessing it's higher.
Well, this says 30 as well. Mm-hmm. Nearly a third of victims are stalked by a current former spouse or boyfriend, girlfriend. I would assume that you see a lot of that in domestic violence situations.
Right. It's often accompanies our clients. So it goes right along with other domestic violence behavior.
One of the following is a common stalking behavior: following, frequent phone calls, monitoring computer usage, all of the above. I would think those would all fall into that category,
definitely,
wouldn't they? And probably many others. If you ignore a stalker, will they go away? I would think that would be false, because mm-hmm. if they're stalking and you just continue to let that behavior go on, it could become more aggressive, I would think.
Yeah, if they haven't gotten your attention, then they may up the ante to try to get your attention.
Mm-hmm. Are most stalkers suffering from some type of mental illness, true or false? This says false, although studies...
Yeah, you'd like to say true, but, you know, although, that's not an excuse.
Although studies show that some stalkers suffer from mental illness, there's no evidence that most are mentally ill. Mm-hmm. What leads someone to stalk? I guess it could be any number of things.
Well, with our domestic violence clients, it's that, you know, they're not going to give up the partnership. And even if they've been removed, possibly with a court order, mm-hmm. They can't be in the house, they can't come around the person openly, so they're going to come around and stay close to that person clandestinely, like, you know, the following at a distance, sitting and watching from a car and things like that.
I would think the next question is, technology is used by only the savviest stalkers. I would think because of cell phones and Facebook and Twitter and all of these different things, video, that technology can be used to cyber stalk, if you will.
And you don't have to be a real savvy tech person these days. Mm-hmm. You know, the GPS system, which is wonderful, and it saves lives and, you know, things like that, it can be used to stalk just as easily. You give your girlfriend a cell phone, turn on the GPS, and you've got her, you know, right where you want her. And so something that's good can be used to do something bad.
Deb Johnson, director of the Domestic Violence Program, joining us today talking about Stalking Awareness Month, this month of January. I got about a 60% on my quiz here.
Well, it's a bigger problem than we realize.
Yeah. Newer information or some additional information. Brianna, do you want to pass along anything you see about stalking that we should know?
Well, it says here that 1 in 8 employed stalking victims lose time from work as a result of their victimization, and more than half lose 5 days of work or more. So it's not just a personal thing. It can affect your work also in other ways.
Mm-hmm. Affecting relationships, affecting family. I mean,
it's terrorism.
Yeah.
You know, it's scary stuff.
What is the key here to, if someone believes that they're being stalked, what is the key? What should that person do?
Take it seriously. Mm-hmm. I think this is not a little game that, you know, somebody's playing. They've got an issue that's going to have to be dealt with. Let people know. This is not secret. Domestic violence is the same sort of a crime that it just does real well if you keep quiet. So let everybody know that this is going on. Get folks on your side to watch and try to document. Because to do something with the legal system, it's hard to say, like, you know, well, I think it was a car sort of like his and maybe he was driving. Mm-hmm. You know, if you can say, you know, we've taken pictures. We've seen his car on our street 6 times this week. You know, if it's concrete and documented, then it's going to be go forward much easier.
Do you see it more with younger people or could it be any age?
I'd say any age.
Yeah. You know, just because Brianna's here, and it got me to thinking as you were talking about college and, you know, walking around the campus. I know when I was in school way back when, you know, things were not a lot different except the number of people and how, you know, everything is just so crammed in, it mm-hmm. seems now. You have to be vigilant and be very aware of your surroundings, and especially being a young lady on campus. I'm sure that you take some extra precautions.
Yeah, on campus, you know, like the on-campus police, they offer escort services, things like that. People should take into consideration when they feel like they're in fear, utilizing resources like that. And the Domestic Violence Center can help you if you're not sure what stalking or domestic violence or sexual assault really. If you know, you can call and ask questions, and there's always someone to talk to you. But I feel like that, and online, you know, letting people know where you're at all times, you always have to be careful about that. So I think in this younger age, there's a lot more to worry about, I think.
Yeah. Longer trips to the parking lot.
Yeah, too. For sure.
We're talking to Deb Johnson and Brianna Gregory about the Domestic Violence Program. Let's kind of shift gears here a little bit, and looks like we're looking for some volunteers to continue to help, especially with the shelter.
This is a real unique opportunity, Brian. We've got two apartments that are actually part of the shelter, one two-bedroom apartment and a one-bedroom apartment, and we use those for volunteers and interns who cover an actual shift at the shelter in return for their rent, utilities, phone, and cable. And those openings don't come open real often, but right now we have two positions. One is a one-bedroom apartment. And in return for that apartment, the volunteer would be working from 5 at night till 10 at night, Monday through Friday, as a real staff person, working with the women and the children at the shelter, working with our kitchen staff and helping bedtime, answering the phone and things like that. And they would get to their apartment and utilities and everything. The other position, the person would have a roommate who is currently on site. She's an MTSU student. And those two girls that share the two-bedroom apartment are on call. They don't have to be up and working all night long, but they're on call from 10 at night till 7 in the morning and the following 48-hour weekend, and they shift every other week.
Okay.
And if there's a phone call, if there's something needed at the shelter, then they respond to it. But other than that, their life is their own. They sleep at night and things like
sure.
that.
Sure. Now, this is, you're basically looking for one person for this.
One for each of those positions.
Okay.
One for the 5 to 10 and one to share the 2-bedroom.
Okay. Very good. I'm sure that there's some type of vetting process and things of that nature, and some training that is involved in that.
Right, and we do a really strong background check, of course, because the person would be living with our client residents, and we need to check references. The person would fill out all our volunteer information, which is online at our website.
Sure. That sounds like a really good opportunity for someone. I mean, you're talking about housing for just a few hours of work.
True.
That's a pretty good deal there.
Another one of those resume things to fill out.
That too. So also, you kind of mentioned Tip the Waiter a minute ago. That's coming up at some point real soon, I would assume, isn't
March 14th.
Okay.
And this year we are going to Embassy Suites. We've had just a wonderful time doing our Tip the Waiter luncheon in the past through the Country Club. Last year we squeezed in 33 tables. We just were really, really tight. And so this year our board has decided to move the event to Embassy Suites. We're trying to have 50 table captains. And the table captains would have either 8 or 10 guests at $25 a plate. And then try to raise some tips by taking care of their people. It can be a lot of fun. You drop your fork and your table captain has to go find one, or fill up the drink glasses and run and get you dessert or extra butter. And then, of course, you tip your table captain, and that's where the extra fundraising comes in for us. And we have an awfully good time.
Tip
and we keep it to an hour.
Table captain, yeah.
Tip your captain.
You better get people that you... that sometimes close friends can cost you a lot of money in that, can't they?
And some of the tables, I mean, pretty much are pretty humane to their table captains. They sit and have a nice lunch. We'll have a good speaker and some entertainment, but sometimes the tables are pretty rowdy, and the captains really have to earn their keep.
So we can, I guess, call and get more information about reserving a table or spot.
Yeah,
or
just call up to the office. Betty Beckwith is our office manager, and she's got all the information. We have two office lines, 896-7377 and 896-2032.
Also, mark your calendars for the DVP yard sale on Friday, April the 6th, and we'll have plenty of time to let folks know about that. And your Bowl Over Sexual Assault, that's the third annual at Lanes, Trains, and Automobiles in April, so a lot of things for us to continue to keep on the radar for folks.
We'll be talking to you about them.
Miss Deb, thanks for coming in again.
Thank you, sir.
And Brianna, good to meet you, and good luck with your internship and in the future.
Thanks for having me.
All right. We're going to wrap up the show here now, as a matter of fact, as our time has run out, but thanks so much for joining us on WGNS Rutherford Issues.